From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of October 10, 2005, it's the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks for joining us. A big, big week for professional disc golf. It's the U.S. Disc Golf Championship in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It begins this Wednesday and runs through the weekend. We've got a preview of that coming up for you. Plus, an interview with Justin Bunnell, one of the young guns who's been tearing it up on tour this year. He might just be your winner at the end of this coming weekend.
I tell everybody, most of the game, when you become professional, is executing the shot. That's all it is.
We'll learn more about that guy. Plus, Des Redding is here. She'll break down how the pros get big distance. Might help you add a few feet to your drives. That in the 60-second clinic. It's all coming up on this edition of PDGA Radio News, brought to you by GottaGoGottaThrow.com. Also, discovering the world at DTWorld.com, Discraft at Discraft.com, and Innova Champion Discs at InnovaDiscs.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drives no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion Line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with the new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
Time now for the 60-second clinic. It's the question on every disc golfer's mind: how can I get more distance on my drives? Well, a couple options. You can try calling up the Distance Fairy, see where that gets you. Or you can ask the Women's World Champion. Des Redding is with us to help you get Big D.
Really, the plastic that's out there right now, some of the new plastic, they are actually creating more distance for players just with the amount of spin that you can get on it. Really, it's tough. It's timing. Disc golf is a series of timing, technique, and smoothness. So it's not necessarily the bigger throwers that have the great distance. It's the one that have the most technique and timing with it. So you have to really work on transferring your back shift of your weight to your front shift and creating this what is called the hit. And basically, you need to drive from your left foot, and then that's where your initiation starts after the crossover. So drive off the back foot and really think of extending your elbow through the target. And then once you do that, your release point should automatically snap out or hit. It's called the hit. And the disc just wants to fling out. And once you can kind of get that all in a really smooth, fluid motion, you'll just get more distance.
Des Redding is a two-time women's world champion. She won her most recent title this past summer in Pennsylvania. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
Since 1979, Discraft has designed and manufactured tournament-quality flying discs for all disc sports. Our disc golf line is second to none. From beginners to world champion pros, disc golfers everywhere rely on the quality, consistency, and durability of every Discraft Pro Golf disc. Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
Try the new Venom Maximum Distance Driver and the Drone in overstable mid-range and the new Pro-D plastic for superior grip even when wet from Discraft.
What's up? This is Steve Yurico, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture, with the U.S. Disc Golf Championship happening this week in Rock Hill, South Carolina, we thought about the young players. Nate Doss, he's your new world champion at 20 years old. And Justin Bunnell, 22 years old, formerly of Oskaloosa, Iowa. He now calls St. Louis his home. Justin Bunnell's had himself a great year. He had a major win at a national tour event, the Bell South. He finished 13th at Worlds this year, 12th last year at Worlds. Could he be your next U.S. disc golf champion? Maybe. We caught up with Justin Bunnell last month and asked him about his game and how bowling can help you find success with disc golf. Justin Bunnell, welcome to PDGA Radio.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about a sport you were involved in before you got into disc golf, and that is bowling. And for some reason, there are a number of top disc golfers who began as really good bowlers. Ty Branch comes to mind. Al Shaq comes to mind, and there are others. So tell me a little bit about your history in bowling.
Well, I started bowling when I was 6 years old, and I my family bowled, and I just kind of got into it, and I was really competitive, worked at a bowling alley, and kind of excelled that way. And I thought I was going to be a pro bowler. I always wanted to be a pro bowler, but it just never happened that way. Some of the stats and stuff I got, I have 18 sanctioned 300s, and I bowled 10 800 series. That's like averaging 267 at least a game. And through league, I had 230 average, and then just kind of went on one direction with disc golf.
You competed at a semi-professional level, is that correct?
Yes.
So compare for me a little bit bowling and disc golf. Why is it that these two sports sometimes draw some of the same people?
Well, bowling, you have your approach, which is pretty much going through a routine, just like disc golf, when you approach the tee. And you're picking a point, in which in bowling you're picking an arrow or some kind of spot that you're throwing over. And like the end result is the execution of the shot, or like in putting also, putting it in the chains. So you get up to, you know, you take your ball, wipe it off, routine, pick your frisbee out, wipe your frisbee off, get on the tee pad, you know, look to where you want to throw, look to where you want to throw your bowling ball, and then you just get up there, and the form is fluent also, too. There's a lot of movement, just like in the frisbee golf throw, too. And you get up there, and it's fluent, and you execute the shot, and you either put it in the chains or you get a strike.
So why did you decide, after you had already been involved in competitive bowling, to jump over to disc golf and compete as a pro in this sport?
In bowling, there's a bigger community of bowlers, and the bowling world is way bigger than frisbee golf. So it would be really hard for me to get a sponsor and to go to where I would want to, and that would be a professional bowler. And disc golf is a lot easier than that. So comparing my skills and my ability and how good I am with frisbee to where my skills and my ability it was to bowling, it was just a lot easier for me to make probably more money in disc golf. Not, I guess more money, but a lot easier for me to get a sponsor, to be able to go on tour. It's just really expensive if you don't have the money, if your parents don't have money, you know, some kind of access to money, and which I didn't have, so I just went the disc golf direction.
So tell us how you got hooked on disc golf.
I had a buddy that played, and he actually had like a stepfather that played in tournaments, and he took me out one day and showed me a few things, and I was hooked ever since.
And when was that?
When was that? That was 1998.
And when did you decide to become a professional?
In 2001, I never really won a lot of advanced tournaments, but I was always in the top four or five, and I was just tired of getting prizes. I wanted to go for the cash, you know, and that's just pretty much what it was. It's all about the cash at first, but now it's like I want to go to win, you know, and it's just with the prizes and stuff, and I wouldn't really sell too much in my hometown, but with the prizes, it just didn't seem as good. And I'm watching these people walk up there and getting these trophies, making speeches and getting money. And I wanted to be that person.
You have really popped on large onto the disc golf radar screen this year. You finished second at the Zeebos, finishing just behind Barry Schultz. You finished third at the Memorial. These are major events. You were first at the Lexington Open and first at the Bell South. So tell me, what is different about your game this year that you have really, you know, come on so strong?
Confidence. I came out with the season and knowing that I had to have confidence to win. And last season it was a real battle with the confidence because I really didn't feel like I just didn't know that if I could compete with these guys. Then after playing a few tournaments last year and then kind of working on a few things in the winter, Sean Sinclair and Dave McCormick both told me that I had to have confidence to be able to play good and perform well, and I just came out with some confidence, and it's all history from there.
Let's talk a little bit more about confidence, because I think it is in every disc golfer's best interest to go out there with that confidence. So tell me a little bit more about how you developed that confidence. I mean, did you go through a process or what?
Well, after talking with a few people and they, you know, just kind of try to get me into the mode, It's real mental. It's crazy how mental it is, but you just got to go up and say to yourself that I can win this tournament. All I got to do is play good and execute my shots. I tell everybody most of the game when you become professional is executing the shot. That's all it is. You walk up there, you throw the frisbee, you throw it just like you want it, you get a birdie, or you get a par, or, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever the par is. But it's all about having confidence in your game, going out and practicing, knowing that you can throw that shot every single time, and just getting up and doing it through your routine every single time makes it easier. And it's just all mental. Just tell yourself to do it, and instead of saying negative thoughts. Saying, yeah, I can do that. You know, I can make that shot. I can make that putt. And then you get up there and you have confidence to make it. You know, you're not holding back at all. I think that's a big part of last year. I was kind of holding back a little bit because, like, you come up to a hole and it's over water. You're kind of holding back. But this year, it's no holding back. I go to every tournament to win.
So, Justin, you've developed the confidence that you need to win. You've demonstrated that this year on the PDGA Tour. Mechanically, what's the strongest part of your game?
My driving, for sure. My driving's the best part of my game, for sure. Every single time I get on the tee pad, I think I can hit any line I need to. I think I can drive just as well as anybody out there. I feel like I'm top five in the nation, for sure. If you put me in any kind of competition, I think I can be top five, for sure.
How important in driving off the tee pad is distance compared to accuracy?
Distance is really not important if you're not accurate, because you could be way offline and you still throw 400 feet. I tell most people that if you can throw 350 and you can place it accurately, that you're money. Because if you start throwing it any farther than you're trying to throw it farther than what you can, and you're throwing it out of control, and which is the best way to get your longest distance is throwing it out of control. You can't really throw the farthest you can if you're throwing it control shots. You have to throw it hard, and you can't know where it's going to go if you're going to try to throw it as far as you can. So accuracy is a must. Even if you can only throw 300, 350, and you can put your putts in, you can compete with pretty much anybody out there, except for super, you know, top pros.
Well, and let's talk about the top pros, the Barry Schultzes, the Dave Feldbergs, the Kenny Klimos. Who have you yet to beat in a tournament?
Dave Feldberg and Barry Schultz. It just seems like they always have my number. I played with Dave a few times, and every single round I played with Dave, he beats me by 2, 3, 4 strokes. So, I mean, I get to that point to where I'm playing with Dave. I mean, obviously my score's got to be around him if I'm playing with him. But then he just excels, and I'm just kind of laying low. And then after that round's over, then I go right back to where I was. And Barry Schultz goes without saying, you know, he's pretty much could be the top player on the circuit right now, and I mean, he's always hard to take down, so just haven't got to that point yet.
Well, you've got the mechanics, you've got the confidence. What more do you need to compete at that level?
I need to start putting more. I need to start practicing putting like 5 hours a day. Sometimes my putting's atrocious, and sometimes you know, I can't miss. The strongest part of my putting is probably my jump putt. My jump putt's pretty good, 35 to 60. I pretty much have confidence I'm going to make it every time. So inside the circle, all I got to do is practice more and just put it in the chains.
You did very well at the World Championships this year in Pennsylvania. You finished 13th. Tell me a story about your world's experience that I don't know.
Well, the first round, we had a rain delay. And it was about 4 or 5 holes in, and I was playing really solid those 4 or 5 holes. I mean, I was in the zone. I was throwing good shots in the woods. This is at Mock Mix, and it was pretty tight. And then rain delay came back, and I was a whole different person. I took a 9 on a hole. Ken Klimo took a 3 on, and I ended up like 40th place after the first round. So it was kind of a struggle to get back to 13th, but, you know, I kept my head in there, told myself there was 7 rounds left, and ended up getting 13th.
We always ask the top pros who come on the show what you're throwing these days. So what's in your bag, and why is it there?
I throw Gateway. I throw Illusions, Spirits, Sabres, Blazes, and Wizards. And I throw Gateway because, to tell you the truth, it's consistent. I'm more of a power thrower, and Gateway Disc Sports is leaning toward power throwers off the tee and everything. Most of our stuff's a little bit overstable, but what people don't realize is that when you break them in, they stay at that point. Like, it's just like you get a broken rock or something. Someone's like, oh, I can't lose this thing, you know, because it's broken in. You've been playing for so long. It's the same way with Gateway Disc. You break them in a little bit, and it just flies true and in the same way all the time.
Pick one of those discs. I mean, which is your go-to disc and why? What is it about that disc?
My go-to disc is probably the Saber. And the Saber is, I think, the most underrated Frisbee on the market. If you have any turbulence at all, you probably can't throw it because you throw it to the right. But if you got a smooth release and a little bit of speed, you can throw it straight on a line and it barely fades at all. It will go straight every single time. And if you're an old school player, you can throw them high. There's a little bit of dome to them, and so you can throw them high, and they're really, really controllable. They're not super slow, but they're still controllable, and you can throw them high, you can throw them at all heights.
Justin, if you had one piece of advice for a player who is looking to make the jump from the amateur ranks to the professional ranks, what would it be? What do they need to have in their game to compete with the pros?
Well, there's a few things. I really couldn't say one thing. You have to have a routine. You have to stay consistent on the routine all the time, and confidence for sure is key. And just know every single time that you can execute whatever shots, you know, put up against you. Don't worry about what the guy before you threw or how he threw it or how what the outcome was. When you get on the tee, go through your routine, keep it consistent, execute the shot.
Justin Bunnell, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you for having me.
22-year-old Justin Bunnell will be trying to become the third player to ever win the title of U.S. Disc Golf Champion in Rock Hill, South Carolina, this week. We spoke to him last month. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
Discovering the World has long been the leader in mail-order disc services, with the largest selection of professional and recreational flying disc products, plus PDGA merchandise. Discovering the World is a great place to find the disc you need for the sport you love. Online orders ship within 24 hours, and the new retail location is open 7 days a week to handle all your flying disc needs. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com. Discovering the World.
If you're new to the PDGA, there's three events you really want to know about as far as what events the pros want to be at. The first is the kickoff to the annual national tour, and that's called the Memorial in Scottsdale, Arizona. Everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants to win. Then there's the middle-of-the-year event, and that, of course, is the Pro World Championships, and that moves from location to location each year. Then there is the final event on the national tour schedule. That is the U.S. Disc Golf Championship in Rock Hill, South Carolina. If you're a pro disc golfer, you want to be there. And yes, you want to win. The spokesman this year for the USDGC is Harold Duvall.
Well, the U.S. Disc Golf Championship was started in 1999 at the Winthrop University Disc Golf Course in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And that year we had 69 players, and this year for the 7th U.S. Disc Golf Championship, we'll have almost 190 competitors, and folks have come from New Zealand and Japan and Sweden and almost all the 50 states to be here in Rock Hill this week. We have one champion each year, and only two men have won the championship in the 6 years we've had it. Ken Climo has won 4 times, including last year, and Barry Schultz has won the other 2 championships. What we try and do with the Winthrop Gold Course is to reward folks who can think and be brave and throw accurately, and if they can throw long, accurate throws, they will be tremendously rewarded. We want to change from the typical disc golf that is more you either birdie or you don't get a good reward to giving folks mountaintop experiences. If they conquer the course, if they get a 3 on the clown's mouth, then they feel like they're on top of the world. Now, like many mountaintop experiences, if you're almost there and you fall off the side, you can have spectacular failures too. And I know from experience how bad some failures can be, because I've gotten some big scores. The course, actually this year, is a little bit shorter. It's just under 10,000 feet at 9,900 feet. And it's a long course, but again, it's long with accuracy. So the players that can throw long and keep it between the ropes, they will do very well. Those who throw long and don't have accuracy will roll up some big scores in a hurry. Thinking that the course record is 59, but I think the course this year will actually play one or two strokes easier. And we've designed it that way because we have our biggest field ever, and to get everyone through the course and in the shorter, even though we're still in daylight savings time, to get them through the day, we had to make the course a little bit easier, but I still think it will be plenty challenging. What we've tried to do with the U.S. Disc Golf Championship is to provide a tremendous showcase for the great disc golf athletes. These folks are practiced, and the great things that they can do are as amazing as Tiger Woods can do with a golf ball. They just don't quite get the rewards yet. They're still way ahead of their time, but we want to, at least one time during the year, give them a tremendous showcase where they can play on a manicure course and play for a significant prize and play in front of people who will be out there cheering them on and appreciating their efforts. And that's why we create miles of rope and put down tons of mulch and thousands of pounds of sand and have literally scores of volunteers doing everything they can so these fellows will feel special all week. That's really what we want to bring to the championship.
Harold Duvall is the spokesperson for the U.S. Disc Golf Championship happening Wednesday through Sunday this week in Rock Hill, South Carolina. We spoke to him at his office there in Rock Hill. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. Hey, so what if you're not one of the elite playing at the U.S. Championship this weekend, October 15th and 16th? Still plenty for the rest of us to do. It's the Fairfield Farewell in Round Lake, Illinois, and you play on Saturday, Pros in Advance on Sunday. In Brownsville, California, it's the Mach 1. That's for AMs only. In Pennsylvania, it's the PA Collegiate Championships. And in Austin, the 28th Waterloo Disc Golf Classic. Plus, Auburn, Washington, hosting the White River Open. In Logansport, Indiana, it's the Hunter's Moon Open. The JDGF at Bicentennial, that's going down in Crowley, Texas. And in Virginia, it's the Mountain Jam. Plus, Reidsville, the Ohio River Bear Open. In Rock Hill, there is something you can actually participate in this weekend. It's the USDGC Par 3 Shootout. That's on Saturday. In Arlington, Virginia, the Bluemont Fall Pro-Am. And the Ottumwa Fall Classic in Iowa. Full list anytime. PDGA.com.
At GottaGoGottaThrow.com, you'll find the largest selections at the lowest prices. They carry all your favorite brands of golf discs, bags, and baskets. No matter what you're looking for, you'll find the largest selection of everything for disc golf. And they can do custom discs and mini markers for your club or help promote your next tournament. Check out the online pro shop at GottaGoGottaThrow.com. The leader in high-performance disc golf equipment and merchandise is GottaGoGottaThrow.
And finally this week, an opportunity for you to make a direct impact on the future of disc golf in a major U.S. metropolitan area. Here's the situation. San Francisco. It's a crowded place. There's not a lot of land. As a result, land is expensive and therefore tough to get a course in. Well, the San Francisco Disc Golf Club for years and years has been trying to get the city to put a course in. Well, finally, after so long, the city said, okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to put a temporary course in San Francisco Golden Gate Park, okay, right there next to the big bridge. It was a temporary course. Well, it's been in for a while now, and now the city parks commission is having a meeting to decide, is this going to be permanent, or are we just going to yank it right out of the ground? And chances are good, if they don't get a lot of feedback, that's what they're going to do. They're going to yank it out of the ground because they've got a million other groups saying, hey, we want to walk our dogs, or we want to play lacrosse or whatever the case may be. So here's the situation. The local club, Ross Hammond in particular, is asking for you to stop by their website, click on a link, and give some feedback to their local parks commission. Now, they understand, hey, you might not be from there, and that's cool. They can still accept your information, your feedback going to that park. You can either drop an email, or you can pick up the phone and make a 30-second phone call. Boom, you're done. And this meeting is going down on the 20th of this month, only 10 days from now. So you gotta act fast. So here's where you need to go to the website. It is sfdiscgolf.org. That's SF as in San Francisco, discgolf.org. Follow the links you find, and you can help San Francisco Disc Golf continue to throw right there next to the big bridge. It's good for them, and of course, it's good for all disc golf to have a course in a major metropolitan area like that. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of October 10th. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsors this week are GottaGo, GottaThrow.com, Discovering the World, Discraft, and Innova Champion Disc. And until next week, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, stay out of the shore, and keep them in the fairways.